did not know of. Mike McGuire is at home ill. There are some more of our men that we are not sure exactly the situation. We're going to postpone the meeting this afternoon. We will try to send Keith a text on that, and I'll try to remind Marilyn, who is here today, that we're going to do that. But we'll postpone the men's meeting until next Sunday. Till next Sunday. Let's go ahead. Yes. Okay. Well, we will definitely postpone then until next week. Next week. Let's mark number 753. 753. Brethren, in just a moment, I'm going to use one verse from the story of Philip and the Ethiopian nobleman found in Acts chapter 8. You might want to turn to it. We're going to be going through that story, but our text is going to be on one specific verse. Now, before we get to that, you need to look at me for just a second. I'm going to tell you a sort of funny story. I want to say that again. A sort of funny story. The reason I'm going to tell this story is going to be evident once we get into our lesson. You'll see why I wanted to tell you this sort of funny story. Once upon a time, there was a lady that had told her husband all week long, next Saturday morning, I'm going to have a list of honeydew jobs for you to do. I want you to make sure you're ready to do that. He said, sweetheart, I'll be ready. I'll be ready. Every day of the week, she told him the same thing. Every day of the week, he said, I'll be ready. I'll be ready. Well, Saturday morning comes. He comes into the kitchen. She meets him with the list. He said, well, at least let me eat some breakfast. Let me eat some breakfast, and then I'll be ready. I'll be ready. So she said, okay, that's fair. An hour later, she had been busying herself. She comes through the living room. He's sitting in his easy chair reading the paper. She said, I thought you were going to start on these honeydew jobs immediately after breakfast. He said, well, let me catch up on the news, and then I'll be ready. I'll be ready. Well, an hour later, she couldn't find him at all. She looked in the backyard. He was asleep in the hammock. She awakened him gruffly and said, I thought after you read the paper, you were going to start doing these honeydew jobs. He said, well, let me rest for just a moment, and then I'll be ready. I'll be ready. And then it was, let me eat my lunch, and I'll be ready. And then it was, wait till after dinner, and I'll be ready. And then it was, let me watch the news, and I'll be ready. But he assured her, I'll be ready. Well, that night when they went to bed, she was hurt and angered. And between those two emotions, she said, you really disappointed me. Because you didn't even do one of those honeydew jobs. He said, sweetheart, don't worry. Next Saturday morning, I'll be ready. Now, brethren, the man in that story really reminds me of the world in which we live. The man in that story was not interested in his wife. He was not interested in her feelings. He really did not care, and the world doesn't care about our Lord Jesus Christ. They just don't care. They don't care about him. They don't care about his church. They don't care about his word. Now, that's all pessimistic, but I assure you that is the last pessimistic thing I will say in this entire lesson. Now, maybe you're in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. This is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian nobleman. Now, let's lay the foundation of this story, and then we will read our text. Philip was preaching in Jerusalem, and an angel of the Lord told him, go toward the south along the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. And that's exactly what Philip did. And he beheld a man of Ethiopia, a nobleman, a eunuch, a man of great authority, Reading verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah, reading from the book of Isaiah. And the verses of which he was reading Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And you can read it, I'll paraphrase it. He said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he invites Philip to get into the chariot with him. And our text is verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, the scripture from Isaiah, and preached to him. He preached to him about Jesus. Now, brethren, I'm not going to go in the direction that most preachers would go at this time. Instead, I want to begin by making this point. You'll notice right up there, before we can teach anyone about salvation, we've got to start with Jesus. Before we can teach anyone about the saving of their soul, we have to start with Jesus. And if you notice on the board, there are other things that we could include. Before we can teach them about eternity, we have to start with Jesus. Or before we teach them about Christianity, we have to start with Jesus. Or the church, we have to start with Jesus. Once upon a time, a man's little son got in the car after Bible class. And his daddy asked him, "What did you learn in your Sunday school class today?" His son was very young. He reached out and just touched his daddy's Bible. And the dad was impressed. He said, "Do you know what that book is?" And his little boy said, "That's our Jesus book." And you know what, brethren? That's exactly right. That is an accurate description of Jesus. Jesus is the hero of the Bible. God told us he was coming and told us that he came. He is the theme around which everything flows, from Genesis to Revelation and all points in between. He is the beginning and the end. Without Jesus, the Bible would not have been written. In fact, without Jesus, it would not need to have been written. What makes the Bible so special? It's Jesus. What makes it so precious? It's Jesus. What gives it its power? What gives it its insight? It's Jesus. Without Jesus, this is just another book. But like the man in the story who was always saying that he would be ready, without Jesus, one cannot be ready. And that begs the question, are you ready? Am I ready? Am I ready to meet Jesus? You know, we read a lot in the Bible about individuals that were not ready. We mentioned in our Bible class today in the book of Ezekiel, there's a story of a city who had a guard up on the wall. He fell asleep. He was not ready. The enemy came and destroyed the city. He was not ready. He was a watchman, but he was not watching. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach out against him. He was not ready. In fact, he tried to run away. And also in our Bible class today, Jesus told a story about 10 bridesmaids. 5 of them were not ready. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah were not ready. The people of Noah's generation were not ready. Those 2 men working in the field, one of them was not ready. When Moses led the Israelites for the first time up to the border of Canaan, 10 of those spies were not ready. The Bible tells us to be ready. Are you ready? Am I ready? Are we ready to meet Jesus? Peter writes, "Be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." In Revelation chapter 6, we find some mighty men and some kings who went to the mountains and rocks and said, "Fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb that is to come." They were not ready. Are you ready? Am I ready? Are we ready to meet Jesus? Festus was not ready. He said, Paul, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call on you. Agrippa was not ready. He said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, almost is not altogether. Now, Paul was ready. He wrote to Timothy saying, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but all those who love his appearing. Are you ready? Am I ready? Are we ready to meet Jesus? Now remember, at one time, Paul was not ready. Paul, when he was known as Saul of Tarsus, was a persecutor of the church instead of one who helped establish congregations. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was ready. You know, there's a song that's not in our book, and I wish that it was. I made mention of this once before. I bet all of us know this song, but it's not in this book. It said, there's a great day coming. A great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. And it asks the question, are you ready for that day to come? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would imagine if we agree with that verse, everyone will raise our hand. But there is another verse. It says there's a sad day coming. A sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by when the sinner shall hear his doom depart. I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? But then the teaching of the Bible is we just need to get ready and stay ready. If we've heard Jesus' plan for the salvation of our souls, very simply stated, we need to hear the truth, believe the truth, turn from our sins, acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, be baptized for the remission of those sins. And then, as Jesus said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of everlasting life. But we have to be ready. We have to stay ready. We conclude, actually, with another illustration that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 24, 25, when he was talking about his second coming. He asked this very silly, facetious question. If you know that a burglar was going to come to your house tonight at 10 o'clock, would you just go to sleep? Would you plan on being away? Or would you call the police to be there waiting for that burglar when it came? In other words, you must be ready. Ready for the judgment day. And with all of the warning, with all of the encouragement, how can anyone possibly say, I'm not ready because I didn't know? We know. We know that Jesus is coming again. We know we need to be ready. The invitation song is number 753, Farther Along. We're going to sing all three verses. Barry will be glad to meet you here in the front, and then we will make your request known. Let's stand. Won't you come as we stand and sing?